and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
God, we are grateful. We're grateful that you meet us. You meet us here, you meet us in times like this. God, we are grateful that you never change, that you remain the same. God, we are grateful that your love for us is unending. So thank you, George. Thanks, Enid. Thanks, Michael. So, yeah, I hope we got you at a good time. I hope that you've now changed from your night pajamas into your day pajamas, because most people are staying home, and that's a good thing. So the last week has been very, very interesting and even maybe difficult. We've had hard conversations, difficult meetings with the leadership team. It's been hard to see people angry as things change. You know, their livelihoods are being affected. It's hard to see people worried about whether they will be infected, what their economic situations will look like. It's hard to have conversations with people for whom gathering here is family, and it keeps them alive. It keeps them sane. Those have been very, very hard days. I have personally broken down three times this week, just because, you know, faced with those difficult conversations that we have to have, seeing people in those difficult times has not been easy. And the thing is, we are not sure yet what we're dealing with. We're not sure yet what we're dealing with. The social media and media in general has been great in spreading information, but unfortunately also in spreading misinformation and even panic and fear. And, you know, we're watching all this unfold. We still have no idea exactly what we're dealing with. And we're longing for some hopeful news, and some of it is coming through. We're really longing for hopeful news. The president declared Saturday a day of prayer, and I hope as many of you joined with the rest of the country to just pray for the nation and also just for the rest of us. At moments like this, it's much easier, it seems, to tell people, you know what, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. It feels easier, it feels inviting, it's what people want to hear. And I just feel that would be unfair to do, because this is still unfolding. We still have no idea what we're dealing with, you know. We have no idea what the Kenya government will how it will respond in the next few days. We see the Ministry of Health just giving new instructions every other time. And we, you know, in an increasingly connected world, we are seeing how it's impacting other nations, and we are seeing their response to it. And, we know that people have lost people they love. We know that 7 Kenyans are right now in hospital fighting this, and others are you know, being quarantined as they test and all that. We know that people in the gig economy have been impacted. A personal friend is actually very mad that so many of the things he gets to do have been cancelled, and we know that by the time this is done, it will have impacted us socially and economically. We still don't know how, but we can see that already happening. And it would be unfair to just callously say, oh, it'll be okay. We're still watching this unfold. Here's another thing we do know. We do know that God is in control. While this caught us by surprise, this did not catch God by surprise. He's unshaken. He didn't fall off his throne. His love for us still remains the same. God is still in control. And he's in it with us. He's Emmanuel. He is in it with us. You know, I remember seeing memes through the week of, you know, how people crossed over into 2020 with so much expectation and hope and planning of how things would go through the year. And now all that is out of the window because it caught us by surprise, but it did not catch God by surprise. Here's a few other things we know. We do know that this is not the first disaster to hit the world. And we do know that this is not the first time the church has had to love the world through disaster. Whether it was created by man or nature, the church has been around a long time. And every time the world has been hit by disaster, the church had to rise. The church had to rise, and it often did. It always did. It rose to the occasion and loved the world through this. And I'm convinced yet that this is yet one of those times when we, the church, will be called to love the world through this. We're called to love the world through this. You know, God is doing something very beautiful in our communities. God is doing something that will surprise all of us. And the church is called to be right there with God, healing this world and changing this world. You know, it's an invitation. What hasn't changed is the invitation to every day ask the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What can I join you in doing? Where are you moving so that I can go with you? You know, the church has been around for 2,000 plus years and it is during the times when it has loved the world through disaster that you know, it saw explosive growth, because God is always active, especially in times of pain and pressure and hurt. God is always active, you know. And just a few examples I want to share with you. You know, in the second century, there was yet another plague, and believers around the world would take care of the weak, the hungry, those who couldn't fend for themselves, instead of running away. You know, during what there's one that was actually called the Plague of Cyprian, because this Catholic bishop has had sermons that became famous from that time, and the church was encouraging people to pay more attention to the living. Even as many people were dying, the church was encouraging people to pay more attention to the living, to take care of the living, to take care of the weak and the hungry. There's an emperor of Rome called Julian, who made an observation. There was yet another plague that wiped out most of the Roman Empire, and he made an observation that these Galileans, because that's what he called believers, were taking care of not only their weak and their poor, but also ours. The church went out of its way to take care of the world while people were scared and panicked and running away. You know, in 1527, the famous bubonic plague hit the world. And, you know, Martin Luther said that, you know, he will take precaution, but he's not going to run away. And everybody was running from the affected cities. But he said, no, that's where he needs to stay. He needs to serve the weak, the lonely, the sick. That's our heritage. We come from a heritage of rising up in times of crisis. And this time is not any different. I think we are living in a soon-to-be history exam question. And as this unfolds right before our eyes, it is yet another time for the church to rise and love the weak, the lonely, those who cannot take care of themselves, and even heal the world, because God is moving powerfully. And the next few seasons will be difficult for some or for many. Will the church panic and and hide and run away or even panic by all these crazy things that are happening? Or will the church, just like its heritage, rise up and love the world through this? You know, will we run away in self-preservation, or will we pour ourselves out? I was so moved to learn that some of our folk at Trinity Vineyard are still bringing in supplies. So the food bank is stocked today. We had more soap for the water hand washing stations we're doing for the community. And I'm grateful that some of you are still rising up in generosity to still love beyond just yourselves and your family. That is our heritage as the Church of Jesus Christ. And as things unfold, loving the world will look different at different times. And maybe around this time, even for Trinity Vineyard, it means shutting down the tent and not having in-person gatherings. It will look different. It means washing our hands more times than we want to. It means staying home when it's already strenuous mentally and emotionally. It means different things, but the one thing that hasn't changed is our commission to love and heal the world. It's our commission to join God in healing the world. And my invitation has been, you know, since last week, is that let us respond from a place of love. Not fear, not panic. Just hold back. Ask the Holy Spirit, how can I respond from a place of love instead of fear and panic? And last week, we as a church, we looked at the story of Jesus and his disciples in a storm. And Jesus was asleep. He was perfectly comfortable sleeping in that storm. But but on seeing how scared and panicked his disciples were, he calmed the storm. He didn't calm the storm because he was afraid. He calmed the storm because he loved the people around him. They mattered to him. And you see, that's where we're called to respond from. Not from a place of fear and panic and worry, but rather from a place of love. And the other thing I was reflecting on last weekend is that, you know, Jesus couldn't have spoken peace into the storm if he was not at peace himself. He had so much peace, he was sleeping through a very wet storm. And that shows that he was very not anxious at all. Inside him was enough peace to just flow out of him and even overcome the storm around him and even speak calmness to the storm around him. And yes, you know, we are in a storm. We're seeing people angry. We're seeing people hurting. We're seeing people panic buying. The world is in a frenzy. I saw a post, could have been a joke or, you know, from someone in the U.S. saying that right now what they actually long for is those crazy times when all they heard in the news were silly politics, you know. They hated it then, and now it's like, oh my word, maybe those times were better. We're seeing all these things happening, and we're sure there's a storm around us. But we can't speak peace into this storm if we are stormy ourselves inside. If we're not at peace ourselves inside. And so Jesus was so at peace to be able to sleep in a storm, and even more, so peaceful to be able to calm a storm. And the thing is, I feel like one of the things I take from that is that the source of our worry is never usually what is around us. We often want to think it's everything that's happening around us. Oh, are we going to lose our jobs? Are we going to be infected? What's going to happen to the economy? All these things that are happening around us, we often want to think that that's the source of our worry, but oftentimes it's not. The storm comes from within. There's a story. As a church community, we've been walking with Jesus as he leads his life towards the cross, and so we pick different stories on this journey, and we just see what he was showing us about the freedom he's bringing to us. And so there's a story in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. This was a teaching Jesus was giving to his disciples and friends, and this is what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body? What you will wear? Is it not life? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. That God is right in this with us, and he knows what our needs are. I think that panic and worry often comes from the illusion of control. And even more in this, in the times we live in, we have this illusion that we have so much control. And unfortunately, around the things that we have less control over, we've built our entire lives. Money, life, health, the economy. We have very little control over all of those, as this pandemic has shown. Yet those are the things we have built most of our lives around. That's where worry and panic comes from. It comes from a place where of thinking that we could control this. We could determine what tomorrow looks like. We could determine what 2020 looks like. We could determine what 2021 looks like. And even as we take very important measures to help slow down the spread, let's not again fall into the same place of, oh, we are in control. We could control this. That's the thing that actually rises worry in us, the illusion of control. And I like the comparison that Jesus gives. He's saying that, you know, that the world, I keep saying that the world is richer than it has ever been in all of human history. And it seems that even the wealthiest of us, who could buy any garment or clothes made by the best designers of the world, could never look as beautiful as the things we see in nature. Actually, we kind of are always trying to catch up with nature. We're getting inspiration from nature and trying to see, oh, maybe we can make a dress as beautiful as this. Yet even the wealthiest of people who could afford some of the clothes that we could just see in movies when Trevor Noah rents them for an event, they still could not become as beautiful as the things God has created. But the weird thing is, most of these things, flowers, lilies in the fields, they don't even decide which fields to grow in. They just bloom one morning, like, oh, I'm blooming. They don't decide when the groundskeeper comes to cut them and throw them into fire. It just happens. But whenever they are blooming, they are beautiful. They are blooming in all their glory. They are bringing glory to God without the worry of, what if the groundskeeper of Trinity Vineyard cuts me off tomorrow? That's the kind of life God is inviting us to. It's to shine and bloom in the present, even as we hope for the future, without buying into the illusion of we can control the future, without buying into the illusion of control. So Jesus invites his friends to focus on God instead. Like, if you really can't determine what you wear, you might as well focus on God, who has all this in his hands and has something for you to do today, and has a way for you to be alive and brilliant and beautiful today. So he invites people, come on, why don't you focus on God, you know? And I think we can trust the invitation of Jesus, because he knows what it is to live in a world of uncertainty, you know? The world has become what we think is more certain over time. But and even more in Jesus' time, uncertainty was the norm. And Jesus knows what it is to live in a life of uncertainty, you know. And I think God's stories are coming. I can't wait to hear, you know, the stories of healing, the stories of provision, the stories of people coming to faith. I think God is doing something very beautiful. God, big God's stories are coming. And we get to be part of that if we abandon the illusion of control and focus on God. And, you know, Jesus knows what it is to have no home. Jesus knows what it is to not know what they're going to eat. Jesus knows what it is to be teaching and there's 5,000 people who can't get food anywhere. Jesus knows what it is to know that the friends sitting with him will one day run away from him, will one day doubt him. Jesus knows what it is to know that someone sitting in his inner circle will betray him. Jesus knows what it is to look at the future and know that death was coming. And still, he sleeps in a storm, very unshaken, very at peace, very not anxious. He's just very, very dependent on the Father. And I think that's what God is inviting us to. So as he finishes his teaching, Jesus makes this encouragement, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does God's power, justice look like in this season? What does God's kingdom and righteousness look like in this season? What does God's power and justice look like in the times of strain, in the times of decreased gatherings for not just for the church, but for all of us? What does God's power and justice look like in the times of uncertainty, even as we face something that keeps unfolding and changing news every day? John Wimber, one of the founders of the Vineyard, used to say, said that, you know, we are loose change in God's pocket. He gets to spend us how he wants. And that, you know, it pays the same. The pay is the same. Whether you spend your day sleeping on your couch or feeding 1,000 people, as long as it is in obedience to the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like in this season? What does it look like to be loose change in God's pocket? That he would send the church anywhere he wills. You know, for some of you, God will make you make calls to people who need them in this time. Some of you will feed those who cannot afford to buy food for themselves in times of scarcity, you know. Some of you will share funny memes and keep people safe and sane in these times of isolation. It matters. Some are scientists just walking through this, hoping to figure out something. Some will be in hospitals helping those who are weak and hurting. Some of you will be led to be on your knees for time and time again, just praying for the sick, for the affected, and for the church. I can't wait to see the things that God is going to bring out as the church rises to the occasion. Whatever it is, join in. Whatever it is, let's turn our focus to this one question. God, what is it that you are inviting us to do? God, I am loose change in your pocket. Spend me as you will. God, the church is loose change in your pocket. Spend us as you will. Send us where you will. Let's pray. Father, we are not sure of so many things, but we are sure of you. Even in times when we doubt you and we have 1,000 questions, it's amazing that you invite us to even come with our doubts. And so, Lord, even as we reach into people's living rooms and their bedrooms, as they sit with family and friends, Lord, I pray that your Spirit is reaching out and bringing comfort and bringing joy. And even more, causing us to rise up inside us to respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. So I bless you guys, even as you sit at home. For those who will need to go out in the next few days for essential things. For those who are panicked, for those who are angry, I pray God's comfort upon you. And I pray that you will be clear on hearing the Holy Spirit and responding, whether it's just to your spouse or to your family or even to your community. And Lord, we pray for your word, this word that you love so much. God, come and heal our land. All of heaven is yours. All of creation is yours. So we ask you again to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us at home. We'll be here again next weekend. And I have forgotten the few things I needed to say. Well, so the food bank is still open. If you're in a terrible place and you need a bag of food, please come get one. If you can keep our food bank supplied, we would love that. And we would definitely love for you to keep giving if you do. If you're in a bad place and you need to make a call, our office lines are still open and we would love to join God in what He's doing in your lives. God bless you and hopefully see you again next weekend. Thank you.